through from January to this press. By the way, worship team, is it possible to sing that song again next week? Okay. The one you just did. Yeah, okay. That would be great. Practice, brother, practice. Good job. Bryce is new to our worship team, and Bryce, you're doing a good job. So thank you. So it's a blessing to be able to see what God has given us as a church in regards to talents and gifts, and I'm grateful that all of you who are able to utilize those. My wife is here today. She's been very sick, and she hasn't been here for a while. And so, but anyway, she made it today, and I'm glad for that. So it wasn't she was mad at me. But that does happen on occasion. But that's not the reason. But anyway, we've been talking about and discussing the blessings of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I've really enjoyed this study that we've had. Last week we discussed the blessings of the Lord and the promises of God. And you may not be aware of it, especially if you didn't hear last week's message, but every promise God made has a condition to it. Okay? Now, sometimes God just does it whatever He wants to do, gives His goodness and His love and His power and His presence just because He wants to, and you don't have to make the conditions. Because He's God, He can do whatever He wants to do. Okay? But many times when we're struggling with difficulties, it may be because we're not meeting certain conditions in His Word. So we've been talking about blessings. And I hope that you have been receiving a blessing by the teachings. Hopefully you're able to begin to implement those things and you're receiving more and more blessing. We're a blessed people anyway. Amen. You know, I think of Ukraine and what's going on over there and the heartache that many of those people, and many of them are Christian. That's one of the most Christian countries in that part of the world. And so a lot of your brothers and sisters in Christ are just going through some horrible challenges and difficulties. And as they come to mind, please just remember to pray for them. But God's, even in the midst of that, God's doing something. And so we just have to trust Him that His will is going to be accomplished. Today we're going to look at blessing of healing. Okay. We're going to look at the blessing of healing. Now, let me just say, as I begin, there's something to be said about eating properly and exercise. Okay. We can't expect to make a steady diet of Miss Peggy's chocolate candies and be able to function properly, or my wife's pecan pie, and be able to function properly. We have to do, Scripture says something about moderation, right? And so we need to enjoy those things, but in moderation. Otherwise, our bodies could tell on us. And so, as we get into this discussion today, I'm not going to talk about diet and exercise. That's not my, and everybody's going, whoo, that's not my topic today. I'll leave that to somebody who's more advanced in their knowledge about those things. So growing up in the church and in the denomination that I grew up in, I never heard a sermon on healing. Okay? Never heard a sermon on bringing the elders together to pray over people. Never heard a sermon about that. Now, and let me just tell you, I went to church before I was born. okay? I mean, I was in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I was in church. But I never remember hearing a sermon on healing. And so, and as a matter of fact, there were some in our denomination who taught that certain gifts were no longer given to the church after the first century. Okay? And so, it wasn't that I bought it, but it causes confusion when you hear those kind of things. And it causes doubt when you hear those kind of things. And so, although I heard those statements, it was like, I'm not real sure. I don't know what I should believe. Should I believe my denomination? But then you read Scripture and it talks about healing, right? And so I was more leaning toward what Scripture said than what denomination said. But in our denomination, there was not, I never saw anybody healed in a miraculous kind of healing, okay? I wonder why. It may be because they didn't believe in it, right? So, man, there was this struggle and this turmoil and this tug in my heart about what is truth and what is not. And as I continued to grow up, I began to believe more regarding Scriptures. But again, I'd never seen it. And actually, it wasn't until I came to this church that I began witnessing some miraculous healings. I've shared some with you, but I'm going to very quickly share them again. We were in the back here. We were praying as a pastor's group, and a fella comes in with his one leg is shorter than the other. He had a large heel on, maybe 2-inch heel on one side, you know, one of his shoes, as opposed to the other. And he was walking in, and believe it or not, a Lutheran pastor, as we were leaving, he said, I need to pray for you. I think the Lord wants to lengthen your leg. And I'm like, what? So we all gathered around him, and Pastor Mick Springler prayed for this guy, and I was watching, and his leg began to grow. Now, he had his foot up on some chairs, and his foot began to grow, and I'm thinking maybe he's just shifting his hip. Well, he prayed, the guy's leg lengthened, and I watched him as, you know, usually you close your eyes when you pray. I didn't close my eyes. And his leg lengthened, and I'm like, man, that's weird. And I'm thinking, you know, he's just, you know, maybe it's just the moment. It's just maybe an emotional response. And so he walks out of the church, and now he's walking limping because one leg, I mean, they're both the same size now, and he's still got the same boots on. So he goes by store. He picks up, he tells us this story later. He always wanted a pair of cowboy boots. And so he bought him a pair of cowboy boots, and he was able to go home. And his wife said, when he got home, he said, look, my leg is lengthened. And she said, well, that's weird. Cross your legs. Because he had never been able to cross his leg before. And so he took his right leg, put it over his left leg. She said, Do it again. Well, come to find out, I didn't know this story again until much later. He was born without a hip bone. And I don't know, I've never heard any results from any x-rays or anything, but I'm assuming that somehow God just kind of created a hip bone in his socket. Okay, I'm just assuming that. Isn't that weird? Yeah, if he can create... If he can create a woman out of a rib, he can do that. And then one time, Cynthia and I, so Cynthia comes out of a different denomination than I do. And so sometimes she would drag me to these conferences that I was a little, little uncomfortable with, okay? And so we went over to City Bible Church, which is now called Manor House in Portland. And every year they would have this conference. And one year they had this speaker, I think it was Tim Robertson, Pat Roberts' son. And he was there and he was sharing that, man, he really didn't ever want to be in the healing ministry, but because that's what his dad did. And so he just started saying, you know, if you've ever watched CBN, they say, well, somebody's got this problem, and God wants to heal you right now. And that's kind of what he did. You know, some of you got back problems. I want to pray for you. Some of you've got you're deaf in your left ear, and I want to pray for you. And he mentioned a few things, and so he prayed for them. It was kind of a simple prayer, and he said, if the Lord touched you and healed you, would you come forward? And I bet you there were 100 people that came forward. Okay, it was weird, seriously, especially for this Baptist boy. And so they came forward, and he said to one fella, and he didn't ask everyone, but he asked a few of them, what were you healed of? And he went to this one guy, and he said, what were you healed of? He said, well, I can hear. He said, well, did you hear me say that the Lord wanted to heal somebody who had a deaf ear that was deaf on the left side? He said, no, because I was deaf on both sides. And so it's like, man, that's weird, right? And then, you know, and we've had several healings here in this church. Just a few months ago, Jeannie was healed of cancer. Okay, praise the Lord. And, you know, every time I see that and every time I experience that, there's faith that begins to grow. Okay, it's not anymore somebody telling me about it. It's somebody actually experiencing it. Okay. And so, in light of all of that, I want to go to God's Word and look at what He says regarding healing, okay? Because He has made some promises regarding healing. The first one that we are going to look at is in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Scripture says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn from evil. It will bring healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. We looked at this last week. It's kind of a condition for healing. But we're going to move on because I've got a lot to say in a little time. Okay? In Psalm chapter 103, verses 1 through 3, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Now, I want you to look at the order of that. He forgives your sins and then heals your diseases. Okay? Now, look at Romans chapter 10, verse 13, and you may say this has nothing to do with healing. But Scripture says in Romans 10, 13, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's interesting that Greek word for saved is sozo. And it means, according to Strong's Concordance, it means to save, to deliver, to protect, to heal, to preserve, to save, to do well, and to be made whole. In Vine's words, the definition is to heal, healing, recover, save, saving, whole, holy, and wholesome. All right? So this word sozo not only talks about spiritual healing, but it talks about physical healing as well. So every time we in my own life, if I'm having an infirmity, or if I'm being asked to pray for someone for healing, there are five questions I ask before I pray. And the first question is this: is this a sickness unto death? Did you know that some people just get sick and die? As a matter of fact, most people get sick and die, right? They get sick before they die. And so it's not normal that a person is just all healthy and all good and then just drop dead. Usually they get sick. So there's this question is this sickness unto death? If this sickness is to death, and listen, I'm asking the Holy Spirit these questions, okay? Because I don't have the ability to know that myself. The Holy Spirit gives that knowledge to us. And so I'm asking the Holy Spirit, Lord, is this sickness unto death? If it's unto death, then I'm probably not going to pray for healing, right? I mean, Hezekiah had a sickness unto death. He prayed for healing, and he lived 15 more years, but actually that last 15 years, it probably would have been better if he died when the Lord appointed him to die, okay? And so I'm thinking that rather than praying out of God's will, I'm going to just let God do what he wants to do in this person's life. John chapter 11, verse 4 says, so you remember the story, Jesus had a friend named Lazarus. And Lazarus was sick. And his disciples and Jesus were gathered around, and they were saying, Jesus, we need to go to visit Lazarus. And of course, Lazarus' sisters were like, man, where's Jesus this time of need? And this is what Jesus said in chapter 11, verse 4. When Jesus heard that Lazarus is sick, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Okay? So if this sickness was unto death, Jesus would not have gone on to see about the situation. Now, we find out that, of course, Lazarus did die, but it was just a temporary thing. Okay? Like 4 days. All right, he didn't die later on he died. It was a permanent thing. But this time it was a temporary thing. And so Jesus said, you know what? Basically, and this is my addition. You know, I've asked the Father. The Father said, this is not sickness to death. And so I'm not really going to rush over there right now. Okay? However, it's for the glory of God. And so that's the second thing. The second question I ask, Lord, is this for your glory? Is this sickness for your glory? Did you know that there are some sicknesses for God's glory? If you remember, there was an incident in the New Testament where Jesus, they brought a fella to Jesus who was born blind. And they asked Jesus, the disciples said, who sinned? Because the idea at the time was that if you were born blind, there's got to be sin in the camp. Okay? And so they asked Jesus, did this man sin? Or did his parents that sinned that caused him to be born blind? But Jesus said, neither. He wasn't saying he wasn't a sinner. But what he was saying was the sin, there was no connection between the sin and the blindness. He said, however, this was done for the glory of God. Okay? So there are sicknesses for the glory of God. God wants to be glorified, whether you're sick, whether you're healthy, whether you're healed, or whatever. He wants to be glorified. And so in this passage of Scripture, Jesus said, no, Lazarus is not sick unto death. He's sick because God wants to be glorified. All right? So that's the second question I ask. Is the Lord glorified in this sickness? And the third question I ask, is this sickness a result of emotional heart wounds that are manifesting physically? Passage in John chapter 3 3 John, verse 2. It only has one chapter. 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. I've been reading a book, skimming through it. That's kind of the way I read books. So I've been reading this book by John Sarno. And in his book, Healing Back Pain, and he's not a believer, by the way. He's a physician that works at Johns Hopkins University. a professor at Johns Hopkins University in New York. And he says that there's a connection between back pain and emotional pain, and that 85% of back pain is because of anxiety, fear, stress, or repressed anger. And he also goes on to say that as he addresses these issues with fear, stress, anxiety, and repressed anger, and some other things in his, he shares in his book, he says that the pain in the back goes away in 85% of the cases, depending on the diagnosis. It's between 77 and 88%, and I just kind of 75%. Or 85. So, even in the secular medical field, they're recognizing that not all physical ailments are just physical, that there's some psychological and emotional connections with that. Does that make sense? Okay. And so as he... As you begin to address those issues, then whatever, you've familiar, I mean, I'm sure you've heard that people with a lot of anger and those kind of things, it can cause heart problems, okay? And people with fear, stress, and anxiety can cause other type physical problems. And a lot of times the doctors are able to work with the outward, work with the physical conditions, but they are not trained to work with the root problem, right? So what I'm suggesting and what the Spirit is suggesting is that you begin working with the root issues and not just the symptoms, right? So my question, my third question is, Lord, is there trauma? Are there emotional heart wounds that need to be addressed that is facilitating this physical problem that is being manifested in this person's life? Okay? And if so, then it's probably not going to do me any good to pray for your healing unless those issues are addressed in your life. Right? Okay. Now the fourth thing, is this sickness caused by unrepented sin? And we found in our study in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, it says, do not be, again, I'm going to recall that, remind you of it. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. So what does that say to you? Does it say to you that there could be some sin issues that may be connected to your physical problems? That's what it says to me. And also what it says to me is that if you address those sin issues, then it's going to be beneficial for you in a physical way in regards to your health. That's what it says to me. Again, in Psalm chapter 103, verse 1 through 3, we read it, but I'm going to read it again. I'll just start with verse 2. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Don't forget his benefits. Do not forget his benefits. He says he forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. And I think all means all. Right? I don't think it means some. I think if it meant some, he'd have said some, right? So we're gonna just accept it like it says. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. And again, I just want to point out that forgiving your sins comes before healing your diseases. But we have to acknowledge our sins, and we have to confess our sins. We have to repent of our sins before healing comes. Does that make sense? Okay. I want to make sure you're with me. Now, there's a passage of Scripture in John chapter 5, verses 2 through 14. And you're familiar with this passage of Scripture when Jesus goes to the pool of Bethesda. And there's this fella there that's been laying there for how many years? Like 38 years. A paraplegic. And Jesus walks up to him and says, hey, friend, do you want to be made well? Now, that sounds like an absurd question to me. But do you know there are some people who don't want to be made well? There really are. If I'm made well, I won't get the assistance from the government. If I'm made well, nobody's going to pity me. If I'm made well, then my caretaker won't come and care for me anymore. If there are some people who don't want to be made well. Now, he's been there 38 years. Somebody's been feeding him, right? I mean, he hasn't just been drinking water from the pool. Somebody's been feeding him. Somebody has been caring for him. Somebody has been working overtime to make sure his needs are met. Somebody's been doing that. I don't know if it was family member, friend, I don't know. But he's been there for 38 years, and Jesus asks a question, do you want to be made well? And he said, you better believe I want to be made well. And then he shares the story about the angel coming, troubling the water. And every time, you know, the water is troubled, he can't get there fast enough to get in the water. Because everybody, according to tradition, according to the word, the first person in is healed. So listen to this. In verse 10, so the Jews saw that he had been healed. Jesus healed him, said, take up your mat and walk. It was on a Sunday. And of course, that really grated the Pharisees because they were not following the rules. He was not following the rules. And so they said, what are you doing carrying your mat? He said, well, the guy who told me to, who healed me said, take up my mat and walk. He said, well, you're breaking the rules. Who told you to do that? Well, I don't know his name. But this is what he says in verse 10, and listen. So the Jews were saying to the man, who was cured? And again, that's that word, sozo. Said to the man, who was cured, sozo, healed, saved. It is the Sabbath. It's not permissible for you to carry your pallet. Well, he goes on. He finds out the guy who healed him, his name was Jesus. And this is what Jesus says in verse 14. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse happens to you. So it appears to me that there was a sin connected to his paralysis. It appears that way. And not only is the sin connected to the paralysis, but I guess this is a warning for all of us. When God heals you, don't go back and do things that's going to bring worse things upon you. Okay? I think Jesus put this in here for a reason. Because, and there are other passages where it says, you know, if the demon goes out he's going to be wandering around in dry places, and if he comes back and he finds the place clean, that means you're not filling yourself with the Holy Spirit. You're not walking in the Spirit. You're not living the life of God, that you're participating in sinful behavior again. He said he's going to come back and bring seven demons worse than the first one, and you're going to be out worse off. Okay, I don't want that to happen to me. So here's some things I just want to suggest to you. Let's just say you have a stronghold in your life that you just can't seem to break. Well, there's ways to break that, okay? And many of you have experienced strongholds being broken. There are ways to do that. And I would just suggest to you, especially if that sin and that stronghold has caused your physical ailments, get help regarding those strongholds. Find someone who's willing to help you break out of that so that you can live in freedom. And let me just say, freedom, freedom in Christ and freedom in your emotions and freedom in the Spirit is a whole lot better than even physical freedom. I guarantee you. But they go kind of hand in hand. All right? They kind of go hand in hand. So I just want to encourage you. If you, then what I intended to do, but we'll get back to that. I won't tell you what I intended to do. We'll just do it in a minute. All right. So the fifth reason, or the fifth question I ask the Holy Spirit is this. Is this a satanic attack? Is this a satanic attack? And I don't know. Sometimes the enemy comes upon us and we get attacked emotionally. We get attacked physically. I don't understand why he has that power to do that, but sometimes he just does it. Okay? Now, when I ask that question, we would assume that normally if the Holy Spirit tells us yes, then we would assume that we immediately come against that and command it to go to the feet of Jesus in the name of Jesus. That's what we would assume. All right? However, we find that in the book of Job, that Job was attacked spiritually. It was a satanic attack. God gave the enemy permission. You just need to read it. I'm not going to go through it. God gave the enemy permission to attack Job. And honestly, Job didn't even know it was a satanic attack. He didn't know it was a spiritual attack. But even if he had, God had a purpose in that attack. And I don't believe, even if Job had recognized it being a spiritual attack, he would have been able to command it to leave in the name of Jesus, because God had a purpose even in that. Okay. And also, if you look in, Paul had a problem as well. Scripture says that he had a physical impediment. There was something, the enemy was harassing him, and he prayed the Lord three times that the Lord would take this harassment away, the spirit away. And he said, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. There was a purpose in Paul being attacked. All right. So what I'm suggesting to you is that if you recognize that it's a spiritual attack, then you need to find out whether there's a purpose in it or whether you can send the critter away. Does that make sense? Don't just assume you can send him away just because you discover it's a spiritual attack. Don't assume that. Because God has a purpose sometimes even in that. The second portion of this reality that you're under spiritual attack, we need to ask the Lord then, are we to bind and cast the spirit away? Are we to bind and cast the spirit away? Sometimes we give place to the enemy. Sometimes we open our lives to an attack, and we need to go back and we need to shut the door and command it to leave in the name of Jesus. And I know this is maybe a stretch. This whole thing may be a stretch for many of you, but this is what the Lord has taught me regarding spiritual healing. You may disagree with me. You may not believe me. I don't really care. Okay. But this is, and there's probably a whole lot more I need to learn, okay? There's probably a whole lot more I need to learn. But these are the questions I ask. If somebody comes for prayer, these are the questions I ask the Holy Spirit before I just immediately start praying for an individual, okay? So just for what it's worth. Now, what I intended to do was ask you as we go through this. Some of you are experiencing some physical ailments, some physical problems. And so what I want you to do, let's go back now, and I just want to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, we're going to ask one or five questions. So here's what I'm doing. When I'm asking the Holy Spirit questions, I usually ask yes and no questions, because I hear yes and no better than I can a lot of verbiage. Okay? Scripture says, let your yes be yes and your no, no. So I'm assuming, you know, I can probably hear that better than a lot of stuff. And so what I'm going to do now is I want to pray for you, and I'm not going to pray for your healing, but I'm going to ask the Lord would reveal to you if there's any of these conditions in your life that you need to address. Okay? And you're probably going to hear, when I say hear, a thought will come to mind. When I say hear, maybe it's a feeling. When I say here, maybe there's a picture that comes into your mind, okay? And that's what I mean by hearing. It's not, don't expect, yes, you're a, you, whatever. Don't expect that. I mean, it could happen, but that's usually not the way it happens, okay? So, are you ready? All right. So, Father, I come before you this morning, and I thank you for your word, and I thank you that we have this to fall back on, and God, that we can trust you. Even if growing up we didn't hear any of this stuff, Lord, we can trust your word. And so, Lord, as we come before you and, Lord, lay our lives at your feet, we want to hear your voice. We want to be obedient to you. And Lord, sometimes things creep up on us and we're not even aware of it. Lord, we want to be aware today. And Father, I pray for everyone in this congregation that they will experience you this morning. They will hear your voice. They will respond to you. And so, Lord, as I come before you right now, I'm going to ask that you would just give us ears to hear, a heart to obey what you tell us this morning. And so, Father, as we begin, I don't want to ask the first question. Is this a sickness unto death? But, Lord, I will ask the second question. Is this sickness for the glory of God? Lord, is this sickness a result of emotional heart wounds that are manifesting physically? So I'm going to go back just a second. And I'm going to ask that second question again. Is this sickness for the glory of God? If you've heard a yes, just slip your hand up and then go back down. Okay? Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. All right. The third question. Is this sickness as a result of emotional heart wounds manifesting physically? Would you just slip your hand up? Okay, several of you. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Number four, is this sickness caused by unrepented sin? Thank you. Number five. Is this sickness caused by a satanic attack? Anyone? Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. And sometimes it can be a combination things. Okay? So let me ask you a question. Do you want to be healed? Okay. Amen. Okay. Amen. Thank you. So I'm going to pray for you. And there may be, this kind of begins the process, but there may be some different, so some of you, there was a lady, you can look back up here now. There was a lady, Margaret Perry's daughter, I can't recall her name, had diverticulitis. And she walked into a service one day. Somebody looked at her and said, "Who hurt you?" That was the beginning of her healing process. And of course, she had to deal with those heart wounds. And she was at the point where all she could eat was apple. But after the healing, she could eat basically anything she wanted to. And I want to ask you, who hurt you? We have to address those pains. Don't just continue to stuff them. I was talking to a lady this week. And she talked about some father wounds. And I said, "Well, what do you do with those?" She said, "Well, when they come up, I just kind of push them back down." And that's the normal for most of us. We just don't want to remember them. We don't want to address them. But God wants to carry those. He wants to heal you of those heart wounds. There was a lady, some of you have met her, that came here. She had Epstein-Barr virus. Her name, which is basically you're allergic to your environment. She got to the point where she was allergic to her own saliva. Okay? Horrible situation. But then she began to address those heart wounds. And now she's a missionary in Jerusalem, in Israel. God wants to heal you. But here's the deal. You have to trust Him with the pain. Okay? And sometimes that's hard. And you have to trust Him with the individual who hurt you. Sometimes that's hard. That's harder. Yeah. It's not easy. Particularly when there's been such wounding and such pain. But this is what I know. God wants to heal you. That's what I know. He's in the healing business. That's what I know. I know that as much as my name is Brad Smith. I know that. Okay? I know that. He wants to bring healing to your heart. He wants to bring healing to your life. So would you, this right now, would you be willing, as I pray for you, would you just be willing to take all that hurt, like all that pain, and give it to Jesus? Father, I come before you right now, and Lord, I just want to thank you for this congregation being honest. Lord, I thank you that you are in the healing business. And Lord, you said, "I came to heal the brokenhearted." The first message you ever prayed or ever spoke, "I came to heal the brokenhearted." And Lord, every single person in here who has a broken heart, you came to heal. And Lord, I just pray right now that they would be able to trust you with that. Lord, with your grace poured out upon us right now, we ask for your grace to forgive those individuals who hurt. us. And Lord, we forgive them from our heart for the wounds they created, and especially when they caused this pain. Lord, I release them in the name of Jesus. Lord, I give them to you. Lord, forgive me for my anger, my hatred, my bitterness, my resentment. I don't want this in my heart anymore. In the name of Jesus and by the power of his blood, I cancel Satan's authority over me and the memory and the resulting pain. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Heal the wounds of my heart that have been inflicted upon me. Heal my broken heart. I open my heart to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to have a time, and you know, we're going to be dismissed, but if you want to stick around and have us pray for you, there's a passage of Scripture in James that says, if anyone among you is sick, he must call for the elders of the church. They're to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. So here's the reality. God promises to heal, number one. Number two, he gives leaders in the church the authority and the power to heal. Okay? And number three, the requirements for healing is repentance of sin and faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. Pretty simple. So I'm going to pray for you. And if some of you elders and leaders want to stick around, we're going to just kind of minister a while. And some of you have actually participated in helping and experiencing God healing through you. Even if you're not an elder or a leader, I would ask that you would stick around as well so that you can help administer this. Okay? So I'm going to let you, Tom, dismiss us with your song. Okay? Right now. Yeah, you can do it from there. Nope, get up. You got to get over here.